What a beautiful, beautiful presence here today. I don't know if you had a chance to see that little video or not before. That was a little group of pastors and some of our fellow believers in the Ukraine. And they had been evacuated from their homes, and yet they could still worship God. They could still say, with every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Isn't that something? Now, I just wanted to share that today because it really touched me over the last week or so. I hope it blesses you. You know, if I was going to put a title on my message this morning that the Lord has put on my heart, I would call it, Why Pentecost? Why Pentecost? There it is. You know, it's estimated that there's at least 500 million Pentecostals alive today worldwide. It's estimated that there's at least 500 million Pentecostals alive today worldwide. And that number is growing every day. So why is that significant? Why is that important? Why is that a thing? Here's the answer. The answer lies in the life-changing power that is unleashed in Christian believers by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When a born-again Christian receives the fullness of the Holy Spirit, everything changes. And there's a Holy Ghost power from on high that too many Christians today have either overlooked or rejected for their own loss. I was raised in a church that taught that the events of Acts chapter 2 were a one-time thing, never to be repeated, until I found out for myself that that actually wasn't the case at all. But believing in simple faith is a key to receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So it's not really a mystery that those who don't believe in the biblical baptism, the Holy Spirit, don't receive it, because Jesus said it's for those who believe. So this morning I'm going to share some passages. And once again, we just want to welcome those who are tracking us online today. It's great to have you with us. We would absolutely love to have you here in person with the family, because that's what we are here at DCC. We're a family. And if you're not here, there's just empty seats and we're missing you. I'm going to share some passages of scripture this morning. So if you have your app or your Bible, you can follow along. Luke chapter 24, starting verse 47, it says, repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Remember the account in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost? We know that the day of Pentecost, the celebration of Pentecost, was one of the seven great feasts ordained by God, practiced yearly 50 days after the Passover. But Jesus did not let his disciples stop at Passover. He urged them on to Pentecost. And he will not let his church today stop at Passover either. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. But why Pentecost? Because the gospel needs to be preached worldwide. Amen? To every race, color, culture, with Pentecostal power. Because church, that's the method that God ordained for proclaiming his word and carrying out his work. Jesus told these well-trained disciples to wait. Wait for what? Wait for the fulfillment of Jesus' promise. You will receive power. And that power came in the baptism of the Holy Spirit that they were soon to receive. Wait until how long? Till you receive the power. Till you receive the power. Church, are we willing to wait upon God for an outpouring? Is it our heart's cry for a fresh Holy Ghost experience today? Now, the Azusa Street Revival was a historical and well-documented series of revival meetings that started in Los Angeles, California in 1906. I really encourage you to read up on it. It's quite something. It's powerful. It was a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And today that revival is considered by historians as the primary catalyst for the spread of the Pentecostal message in the 20th century. But at that time, there was a very powerful prophetic word given. Very powerful. And this is what that prophetic word was. It said, in the last days, three things will befall the great Pentecostal movement. An overemphasis on power rather than righteousness. An overemphasis on praise to a God they no longer pray to. An overemphasis on the gifts of the Spirit rather than the Lordship of Jesus Christ. An overemphasis on power rather than righteousness. An overemphasis on praise to a God they no longer pray to. And an overemphasis on the gifts of the Spirit rather than the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Isn't that something to think about? These disciples, they had been personally trained by Jesus, and yet they were not considered ready for ministry yet. Why? Because they didn't have the power yet. So why Pentecost? Because without it, we are lacking Pentecostal, critical power from on high. Any of you guys ever tried to fire up your quad with no gas? Doesn't work so well. You don't get too far. You need the juice. Church, we need the juice today of the Holy Spirit. Why Pentecost? Because it gives power to the preaching of the word. It gives power to our witnessing, sharing Christ to our world and with those within our sphere of influence. And here's a fact, okay? All genuine born-again Christians have the word to share. Remember the Great Commission of Matthew 28? It wasn't a great suggestion, the Great Commission. It was marching orders for the church, for you and I today. Marching orders locked and loaded with the power of Holy Ghost authority. It said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Those apostles had their marching orders too. But the word alone was not enough. They needed Pentecostal power. They needed Holy Ghost impact in church, so do we today. Not just powerful or persuasive words or eloquent words, but divine, high explosive power. I really don't like this thing. But, you know, their experience on the day of Pentecost made them Pentecostals, filled them with the power of God. Holy Spirit came in a new dimension. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is not just for a select few. The promise of being filled, baptized in the Holy Spirit is for you, it's for me. The promise is for our children. Promises for all those who are far off. And that for all who are far off is consistent with the global commission, which is for the entire church age, not just for the first century. You know, the church didn't begin with some kind of enlightened philosophy, as with all religions. It started with people who were literally an active part and who had witnessed a supernatural event that completely changed them and their world. This literally happened. Can you kind of picture it with me? They're in this room. The room starts to shake by the power of God. Can you imagine that mighty rushing wind? What did it feel like when they hit their faces? What did it sound like? What was it like to see that fire coming down, spreading and sitting upon each of them? A mighty move sweeping through the entire group. Acts chapter 4. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your words with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Another Pentecostal outpouring. What? Yeah. The Lord added more Pentecostals to his church. The place shook, and so did the power of God. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word boldly. And church, solid Pentecostal preaching is typically known for its boldness and its exuberance. Why? There's something different. The anointing is there. The present-day reality of Holy Ghost power is alive and well. But why Pentecost? Because without it, most of us don't speak boldly. In fact, we can be even timid. A lot of Christians today are afraid to share Christ because they think they have to do it in their own strength, in their own natural abilities, by their own persuasive power. I want to tell you today, there are no powerless Christians when they are filled with the Holy Spirit and walking in the anointing of God. The anointing, Holy Ghost power. Church, it breaks the devil's yoke in people's lives. It sets people free. So why Pentecost? Because we need healings, miracles, signs, and wonders to confirm the word. But at the same time, let's be careful. Let's remember that the church needs to focus on both the power of God and the righteousness of God and how that should impact our lives. We should never deny God's power, and seeing him move in power should always happen in the church. But we can't overemphasize is it should be a supernaturally natural part of church life. Now, Jesus at age 30 did his first miracle after his anointing by the Holy Spirit. You can read about that in John chapter 1 and John chapter 2. John 1:32, then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him. But the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And I've seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. Acts chapter 10, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. Because God was with him. It's interesting that the Greek original word, root word for doing good, occurs only twice in the New Testament. And its meaning is that of a philanthropist or a benefactor, bestowing a benefit. How? By the heaven-sent power that operates in ways that is beyond our natural ability. The anointing is for healing, preaching, witnessing, delivering, and miracle work and power, but it is also to empower us to be the benefactors, to reach those who are broken, hurting, and lost. Now, you got to love the account of Acts chapter 9. It says, then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. And he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. And Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Amazing. Earlier in this chapter, what was happening? Saul was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. And then he has this one-on-one encounter with Jesus. 3 days later, there's a life-changing Holy Ghost experience. Not long after that, he's preaching in the temple. But why Pentecost? Because it may take the baptism of the Holy Spirit to turn some people around. You know, Saul the persecutor became Paul the preacher and the writer of nearly 30% of the New Testament. Let's look at Peter for a minute. You know, after spending 3.5 years with Jesus, Peter denied the Lord 3 times. Third time, he even went as far as to call down curses on himself. And as he swore to them, I don't know this man that you're talking about. But fast forward 7 weeks. This same Peter, preaching an anointed message to crowds of thousands in Jerusalem, brought 3,000 people into the kingdom. Church, we can plug into that same power. You believe that? The same spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, seated him at the right hand of his Father God, is in us. We just need to plug in. Can you imagine what it would be like if half of Devon got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit? Can you imagine? Do you think it could happen? Of course it could. But what made the difference? The answer is simple. It's right there in scriptures for us to see. Between his denial of Christ at Passover and his mighty, soul-winning sermon less than 2 months later, Peter experienced the first New Testament day of Pentecost. Peter was among the 120 who had received that heaven-sent baptism in the Holy Spirit. Let's think back to the Old Testament, King Saul. You can read about that in 1 Samuel 10. The Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. God changed Saul's inner disposition through the anointing of the Spirit. And that change was not unconditional or permanent, but could only be maintained by obedience to God. God changed Saul's heart, and Saul had a lot of God-given abilities to help him serve the Lord and the nation that he ruled over. He had a changed heart, he had a stronger body, he had a humble attitude, he had Samuel's guidance and prayers, and he had the gift of prophecy. But Saul didn't stay faithful to the word. He refused to obey God. And later we read that the Spirit left him. Bad story. Church, we need to seek the Lord today. We need to seek the Lord today. Walk in obedience and keep in the flow. Let it never be said that the Spirit of God has left this place, but he is welcome here. Amen. We want him. We need him. So it poses the question, at least for me, where am I in all of this? Where are you in all of this? Where are we as the body of Christ? Are we just kind of on cruise control until Jesus comes? Or are we ready for the new thing that God says he's doing? You think maybe we're in the last days or getting pretty close? You know, what does God say? In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Do we really want more power? Do we? Do we want more boldness? Do we want to see the broken, hurting, and lost won for the kingdom? You know, we need the Spirit's enabling to win the kingdom and to overcome and walk in victory over the disabling power that the enemy is destroying our world with today. We need to receive our own Pentecost, folks, or receive a renewing of it. We need it today. Acts 13 talks about persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from the region. So they shook off the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Why Pentecost? Because it may take that to give you joy in the middle of persecution and hard times. And I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit overflows any diagnosis. The Holy Spirit is bigger than any discouragement, any loneliness, that depression, a broken relationship. Full of the Spirit, manifesting the Spirit, fruit of joy. Full of the Spirit, no room for pessimism. Now that one's for me because I tend to be a glass half empty kind of guy sometimes. Full of the Spirit crowds out that which is not of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be what? Filled with the Spirit. Why Pentecost? Because it fills us with God and displaces what the world claims to offer, what it dangles in front of us every day. Remember, he is the Holy Spirit. Church, being full of him is an amazing, sanctifying influence. Biblical Pentecostals are enabled by the Holy Spirit's fullness to increase in personal holiness. There's a whole sermon series for you. Ah, church, we need the Holy Spirit. Because yesterday's anointing is not enough for today. Now, the four Gospels record how Jesus kept the anointing stirred up as daily fresh oil by his dedication to prayer and time spent in ongoing fellowship, relationship with his Father God, how much more do we need to keep the anointing current and fresh in our lives? Getting into the word in prayer, in worship, and in fellowship. Each one of us has a decision to make, a real decision. Will we do that? Or will we be just content to follow the false hope that yesterday's anointing will somehow carry us forward without seeking fresh impartation from God daily? You know, the Pentecostal baptism of the Holy Spirit is for today. It's for you. It's for me. Like those in Jerusalem, in Ephesus, at Cornelius' home, like the apostles, Peter and Paul and other disciples, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues and receive that power on high to be Christ's witnesses wherever we go. Just one more thought. The Lord gave this to me the other day. You know, right now, Jesus the baptizer is sitting at the right hand of his Father God. But things are getting bad in this world. Time is short. You only have to look at the news to figure that one out. One of these days, the Father's going to tap him on the shoulder. And he's going to say, okay, it's time. Go get your church. Church, we're running out of time. My prayer is that we would be people of the Spirit. That would be our hunger. That would be our passion. To know the Spirit, to walk in the flow. What a difference that will make. What a difference that will make to be people of the Spirit. Father, we thank you today for your word. God, we thank you for your precious, precious Holy Spirit who came. God, I thank you for the power of your Spirit. Thank you for the anointing, Lord God. That anointing that empowers, that enriches. God, I pray that that would be our passion. God, I pray that as we go today, that would resonate in our hearts, in our spirits, Lord, to be people of your Spirit, God, led, directed in a way that we've never even maybe thought of. Oh, God, we need a fresh outpouring today. God, we need you. We need you, Lord. We commit this time to you, Father. We just praise you. We bless your name. We thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you for what you were doing at DCC. Father, I pray for those in our community, Lord, who don't know you. God, they need you. They need to know what it is. Know you in a personal way. And I pray, oh God, that by your Spirit, you would draw them. God, I pray that you would empower us with boldness and courage to reach out, to speak to them. To speak into their lives. Father, I pray this week you would feed us from your Spirit, that we would walk in a different way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.